Today's sermon is Two Lions. We're in the midst of a battle between two lions. There are two prides of lions for which one seeks to gain control. Pride can be a character trait or a group of lions. Here I'm referring to a group of lions. Let me ask you this: what happens when another lion infiltrates a pride and attempts to overtake, to overthrow its head? A battle ensues when you have an aggressor and a defender. The battle will rage until one is triumphant. Sometimes it ends in death, other times it ends in wounded pride, pun intended. What has this pandemic done but expose or reveal the real battle that is happening? Back in April, I had expressed the origins of the disease were not of Adonai, but had the fingerprints of the adversary all over this chaos. The truth has a way of rearing its ugly head for those who are trying to suppress it. Thus, all we have basically witnessed since March has been one chaotic moment after another. Scripture reveals these two lions for us. Kepha conveys, stay sober, stay alert. Your enemy, the adversary, stalks about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The first lion is our enemy, the one who seeks to infiltrate our pride, our congregation, and separate us from the one who leads and protects us from adversarial aggression. The head of our pride is the one of the elders who said to him, don't cry, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has won the right to open the scroll of the seven seals. Prophesied long ago, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, he would be our strength and our shield. We read in Genesis 49:9 in this week's Parsha, Yehuda is a lion, a cub, my son, you stand over the prey. He crouches down and stretches like a lion, like a lioness who dares to provoke him. He is set only to attack if provoked. Just as a male lion who is head of a pride only attacks when provoked by another lion, so too our lion attacks when provoked. The attack of the adversary are not blatant and direct, but subtle and covert. He looks to infiltrate the pride, the community of Adonai, and attack from within. Yet know the fierceness displayed in the video understates the true intensity of this battle. For there will be a time when Adonai, our lion, our protector, will truly demonstrate his power and authority for all to see. When his fury is revealed, our adversarial lion will experience a final and permanent defeat. Our lion's response will not only be against this adversarial lion, but that of his pride. The ones who follow him will experience the wrath of a lion provoked. Revelation chapter 16, starting in verse 2. So the first one went and poured his bowl onto the earth, and disgusting and painful sores appeared on all the people who had a mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The second poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like blood of a dead person, and every living thing in the sea died. The third one poured out his bowl into the rivers and springs of water, and they turned to blood. Then I heard the angel of the water say, O HaKadosh, the one who is and was, you are just in these judgments of yours. A response like none other for all the attempts to infiltrate Adonai's pride of lions. Adonai's response does not end here, but continues. Then I heard the altar say, yes, Adonai, God of heaven's armies, your judgments are true and just. The fourth one poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was permitted to burn people with fire. People were burned by the intense heat, yet they cursed the name of God, who had the authority over these plagues, instead of turning from their sins to give him glory. The fifth one poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom grew dark. People gnawed on their tongues from the pain. Yet they cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and did not turn from their sinful deeds. The sixth poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water dried up, in order to prepare the way for the kings from the east. And I saw three unclean spirits that looked like frogs. They came from the mouth of the dragon, from the mouth of the beast, and from the mouth of the false prophet. They are miracle-working demonic spirits which go out to the kings of the whole inhabited world to assemble them for the war of the great day of Adonai. Thus the fury of the Lion of Judah, provoked by its adversary, rages until only one lion remains standing. For the seventh one poured out his bowl on the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." There were flashes of lightning, voices and peals of thunder, and there was a massive earthquake, such as never occurred since mankind has been on earth. So violent was the earthquake, the great city was split into three parts. The cities of the nations fell, and God remembered Babel the Great, and made her drink the wine from the cup of his raging fury. Every island fled, and no mountains were to be found. And huge 70-pound hailstones fell on people from the sky. But the people cursed God for the plague of the hail, that it was such a terrible plague. This is how our king, our lion, will respond to the stealth-like attack that ensues upon his people. Attacks within, provoked by the adversary. Deuteronomy chapter 9, starting in verse 7. Remember, don't forget how you made Adonai your God angry in the desert from the day you left the land of Egypt till you arrived at this place. You have been rebelling against Adonai. Also in Horeb, you made Adonai angry. Adonai was angry enough with you to destroy you, provoking Adonai to anger because rebellion and disobedience, hallmarks of the lion who seeks to kill and destroy. This barrage became persistent among Adonai's people. We read in Numbers 16, "Now Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, along with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, descendants of Reuben, took men and rebelled against Moses. Siding with them were 250 men of Israel, leaders of the community, key members of the council, men of reputation. From generation to generation, the battle within would rage. Deuteronomy chapter 31, "Assemble for me all the leaders of your tribes and your officials, so that I can say these things in their hearing, calling heaven and earth to witness against them. Because I know that after my death, you will become very corrupt and turn aside from the way that I have ordered you, and that disaster will come upon you in the Aharit Ha'ayim, because you will do what Adonai sees as evil and provoke him by your deeds. These future deeds will lead to our lion provoked by his own, and therefore must correct his own people. Division of the kingdom, expulsion from the land, continued pursuit of other gods, constant rebellion towards Adonai's word. The community of Adonai has been infiltrated by the lion, by which it seeks to destroy, by his tactics. Sheol reveals his tactics to us, that they are those of the old nature. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity and indecency, involvement with the occult, with drugs, in feuding, fighting, becoming jealous, getting angry, in self-ambition, factionalism, intrigue, and envy, in drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you now, Sheol says, as I have warned you before. Those who do such things will have no share in the kingdom of God. Such are the methods employed by the adversary, the adversarial lion who comes to devour the Lion of Judah. For we read of Isaiah's list of those charges against his own people. Woe to those who add house to house and join field to field until there's no room for anyone, and you live in splendor alone in your land. Woe to those who get up early to pursue intoxicating liquor, who stay up late at night until wine inflames them. Woe to those who begin by pulling at transgression with a thread, but end by dragging sin along as with a cart rope. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who change darkness into light and light into darkness, who change bitter into sweet and sweet into bitter. Woe to those seeing themselves as wise, esteeming themselves as clever. Woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, men whose power goes to mixing strong drinks. And finally, woe to those who are heroes at drinking wine, men whose power goes to mixing strong drinks, who acquit the guilty for bribes but deny justice and righteousness. The righteousness of Adonai has been reduced to treachery, self-indulgence, and pride. All the hallmarks of the lion who seeks to destroy, ultimately from within. He undermines the authority of Adonai. He diffuses his standard of righteousness and his kingdom, attempting to crumble it. Not just the community, but the leaders of the community. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees, for you swallow up widows' houses while making a show of davening at great length. Because of this, your punishment will be all the worse. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees. You go about over land and sea to make one proselyte, one convert. And when you succeed, you make him twice as fit for Gehenna as you are. Woe to you, you blind guides. You say, if someone swears by the temple, he is not bound by his oath. But if he swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees. You pay tithes of mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the weightier matters of Torah, justice, mercy, and trust. These are the things you should have attended to without neglecting the others. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees. You clean the outside of your cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look fine on the outside, but inside are full of dead people's bones and all kinds of rottenness. And finally, woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate graves for the Zedekim or the righteous. And you say, had we lived when our fathers did, we would never have taken part in killing the prophets. Grandeur and delusion have infiltrated the leaders of the community. When Adonai calls us to him, it is not by weakness, but through strength. Shaul's word to the Corinthians in chapter 4, God has shown us such mercy that we do not lose courage as we do the work he has given us. Indeed, we refuse to make use of shameful, underhanded methods, employing deception or distorting God's message. On the contrary, by making very clear what the truth is, we command ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. So if indeed our good news is veiled, it is veiled only to those in the process of being lost. They do not come to trust because the God of the Olam Hazeh, the God of this world, has blinded their minds in order to prevent them from seeing the light shining from the good news about the glory of Messiah, who is the image of God. For what we are proclaiming is not ourselves, but the Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. With ourselves as slaves for you because of Yeshua. For it is the God who once said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has made his light shine in our hearts, the light of the knowledge of God's glory shining in the face of Messiah Yeshua. So we're given understanding. There's much correction that's seen throughout Scripture. But consider this prayer of David from Psalm 28. Adonai, I am calling on you, my rock. Don't be deaf to my cry. For if you answer with silence, I will be like those who fall in a pit. Hear the sound of my prayers when I cry to you. When I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary, don't drag me off with the wicked, with those whose deeds are evil. They speak words of peace to their fellow man, but evil is in their hearts. Pay them back for their deeds as befits their evil acts. Repay them for what they have done. Give them what they deserve. For they don't understand the deeds of Adonai or what he has done. He will break them down. He will not build them up. Blessed be Adonai, for he heard my voice as I prayed for mercy. Adonai is my strength and shield. In him my heart trusted, and I have been helped. Therefore my heart is filled with joy, and I will sing praises to him. Adonai is strength for his people, a stronghold of salvation to his anointed. Save your people, bless your heritage, shepherd them, and carry them forward. We have not been blinded, but our eyes have been opened. The roar of the adversary rings loud throughout the world. But we are not to be frightened. We are not to quiver from it. And we are not to be weakened that we submit to it. So pay attention and listen for his roar, because all will ensue when he announces his return. So every eye closed. But immediately following the trouble of those times, the sun will grow dark, the moon will stop shining, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with tremendous power and glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen people from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Listen for his roar.